Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Spirit of Democracy, by political scientist Larry Diamond, examines why democratic government has spread in some places, stalled in others, and reversed in still more. Written against the backdrop of the late 20th century democratic wave and its aftermath, the book connects big ideas about freedom with practical questions about institutions, leadership, and citizen power. Diamond treats democracy not as a Western export or a single electoral event, but as an ongoing struggle to build accountable rule, protect rights, and limit corruption. Drawing on comparative cases from multiple regions, he explores how democratic openings occur, how they can be consolidated into durable systems, and how authoritarian actors adapt to undermine them. The result is an accessible, evidence-minded guide to the forces that shape political change, from party systems and civil society to international influence. It is both a diagnostic of democracy's weaknesses and a framework for strengthening it in difficult environments. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, democracy as a system, not just an election. A central theme is that democracy requires far more than periodic voting. Diamond emphasizes the broader architecture that makes popular sovereignty meaningful constitutional limits, independent courts, rule of law, and protections for speech, association, and minority rights. Elections can exist alongside intimidation, media capture, and administrative manipulation, producing regimes that look democratic but do not allow genuine competition or accountability. The book highlights how democratic quality depends on whether citizens can organize freely, receive reliable information, and challenge abuses without fear. It also explores the importance of horizontal accountability, meaning watchdog institutions that can investigate and restrain executives, including legislatures, auditing bodies, and anti-corruption agencies. By widening the definition beyond ballots, Diamond equips readers to evaluate political systems more accurately and to see why some transitions disappoint. This lens clarifies why democracy building involves painstaking institutional design and civic norms, not merely replacing leaders. It also explains why fragile democracies can slide into illiberal patterns even when elections continue, and why defending freedoms between elections is essential to keeping democracy real. Secondly, how democratic transitions begin and why they falter. The book analyzes the typical pathways that open political systems, including elite splits, economic crises, popular mobilization, and negotiated pacts. Diamond shows that authoritarian regimes rarely fall simply because citizens want freedom change, often requires fractures within ruling coalitions and moments when repression becomes too costly. Yet the factors that enable transition can also plant seeds of later instability. Negotiated settlements may leave old power networks intact. Militaries can retain veto authority, and new parties may lack organizational depth. Diamond discusses how early choices, such as electoral rules, decentralization, and constitutional design, shape incentives for compromise or polarization. He also points to the dangers of premature elections without credible institutions, where winners can entrench themselves and losers may reject the process. Another recurring risk is the personalization of politics, when charismatic leaders substitute themselves for institutions, weakening the long-term capacity of the state. By comparing experiences across regions, the book makes clear that transition is a phase, not an endpoint. Consolidation requires building trust, professionalizing governance, and creating predictable rules that outlast any single coalition or reform moment. Thirdly, institutions that sustain accountability and curb corruption. Diamond treats corruption and weak governance as major threats to democratic legitimacy. When citizens experience bribery, cronyism, and impunity, they often lose faith that democracy serves them, opening space for authoritarian promises of order. The book outlines how effective institutions can reduce these pressures, stressing transparency, impartial enforcement, and administrative competence. Independent judiciaries and prosecutors matter, but so do less visible systems such as civil service merit rules, budget oversight, procurement standards, and professional policing. Diamond also addresses the political economy of corruption. Powerful business interests and patronage networks can capture parties and ministries, making reform difficult without broad coalitions. He emphasizes that anti-corruption efforts must be credible and even-handed, not selective tools to punish opponents. Media freedom and investigative journalism are presented as essential external checks, while civil society organizations can monitor public services and mobilize public demand for integrity. The book's institutional focus connects daily governance to democratic survival. If the state cannot deliver basic fairness and competence, elections become a contest over spoils rather than public service, and citizens become more vulnerable to demagogues who claim that constraints and rights are obstacles to decisive rule. Fourthly, civil society, culture, and the habits of democratic citizenship. Beyond formal institutions, the book explores the social foundations that help democracy endure. Diamond highlights the role of civil society organizations, unions, religious groups, professional associations, and grassroots movements in creating channels for participation and oversight. These groups can educate citizens, amplify marginalized voices, and build pressure for reforms. Just as importantly, they can nurture democratic habits, tolerance of disagreement, willingness to compromise, and commitment to peaceful contestation. The book examines how political culture interacts with institutions, arguing that values alone do not produce democracy but can strengthen or weaken it. Where distrust is pervasive and politics is seen as zero-sum, leaders find it easier to justify repression or exclusion. Conversely, broad acceptance of pluralism makes it harder to delegitimize opponents. Diamond also considers the information environment, including the importance of free media and open debate for shaping informed consent. He treats civic education as a long-term investment, not a slogan. By focusing on citizen capabilities and organizational life, the book shows why democracy is a collective practice. It must be learned, defended, and renewed through engagement that persists even when elections are over. Lastly, international influences and the global contest over democratic norms. Diamond places national struggles within an international context, showing how external actors can enable or undermine democratic development. He discusses how democracy promotion, election monitoring, aid conditionality, and support for civil society can create leverage for reform, especially during transitions. At the same time, he notes the limits of outside pressure when strategic interests, security concerns, or economic ties dilute commitments to democratic standards. The book also addresses how authoritarian regimes learn from one another, sharing techniques that preserve a facade of legality while restricting competition, such as controlling media ownership, manipulating electoral administration, and targeting NGOs. This creates a global environment where democracy is not simply spreading but is contested. Diamond highlights the importance of international norms and institutions that reward accountability and punish abuses, while acknowledging that interventions perceived as coercive can provoke backlash and nationalism. Trade, investment, and resource dependence are treated as forces that can either strengthen rule-based governance or entrench kleptocratic elites. By analyzing the global dimension, the book helps readers understand why domestic reformers often need allies and why principled foreign policy choices matter. Democracy building is local, but its prospects are shaped by cross-border flows of money, ideas, and influence. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, comparative understanding of how democracies are built and why they break down, including students of politics, journalists, policy professionals, activists, and engaged citizens. It benefits readers by offering practical ways to think about democratic health beyond partisan headlines, looking at institutions, rights, accountability, corruption control, and civic participation. That perspective can sharpen how you evaluate reforms, interpret elections, and recognize early warning signs of democratic erosion. The book is also useful for anyone working in development, governance, or advocacy because it links ideals to implementation, showing how incentives and power structures shape outcomes. Compared with many democracy titles that focus narrowly on one region or on abstract theory, Diamond combines broad global case awareness with an accessible framework for judging democratic quality and consolidation. It is worth buying because it functions as both a map and a toolkit, a map of recurring patterns across countries, and a toolkit of concepts that help you analyze real-world events with more precision. Readers come away better equipped to discuss democracy in concrete terms and to see how lasting freedom depends on daily institutional and civic work, not only on hopeful moments of transition. If you would like to support Larry Diamond, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.